You've seen her post or whatever, but Angela was sharing about her our little trip on Friday that I wasn't able to spend time with her on her birthday. And so I said, I'll take you out later. So we went, we did a big long drive, and we ended up over at Honey Run Falls on the other side of Mount Vernon outside Howard. It's part of the Cocosing River and all that, and beautiful little park. And, you know, we walk up towards the falls. I kept hearing something. I seen these boxes sitting off to the side, and I get up closer, and it says Ohio Falconry. And this box starts kind of, I'm like, okay. We look over the hill and down in the bottom of the falls. There's a photography session going on. And the woman that was down there had this big old white owl on her shoulder, or up here on her arm. It was a beautiful bird, God's wonderful creation. And you know how you just kind of pick up something's not right? So we just walked away, and we took a couple pictures of the falls without the people in them. And we went over to the river and to some little cool cave and stuff like that. And which I told her, I said, you know, even as far as 10 years ago, I'd have been climbing on those rocks. Yeah, that ain't happening today. I've been up there before. I don't need to go again. But so we did our walking around. We went over, sat down, and as I started walking back, and I was like, let's go over here and watch these birds again and just watch it. And I just started getting something in my spirit that something wasn't quite right. And so I just began praying in the spirit, walking up through there. And we get up there, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me what was going on. And, I mean, it was a legitimate photography session. But at least the photographer and ladies that were involved were witches. And so, which they were spending $1,500 a person for that shoot. That's a lot of money to take pictures. And but anyhow, we were just east of Kenyon. If you know anything about Kenyon College, it is called the Gateway to Hell because of all the witchcraft. And anyhow, so we just began to pray. And, you know, we weren't out there making a scene. You don't have to. Swift, silent, and deadly. We learned how to do that. We're more effective. And anyhow, so we prayed, and we just sat there and watched. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's creation. I can't help what they were doing. We prayed. But then they brought out a peregrine falcon. That bird was beautiful. You know, and yeah, and it was just pictures. They were fantasy-type pictures. But, you know, we just were sitting there in amazement. Here we are sitting in this beautiful place God created. These birds that God created. And I don't know if, I mean, I've seen falcons. They have a tendency when they're on somebody new, they don't want to sit still. But that bird did not want to stay where he was at. He kept trying to fly off, but he was tethered, so he couldn't. And, but, you know, we're living in a time and age where this stuff's going to be glorified. And it is today, and it has been for a while. So there's a lot of things we need to be praying about, be praying in the spirit about. And just so you know, Halloween's not the only time on the planet that witches get together. They have high holidays. They have low holidays. They make up holidays, kind of like some people. But so just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on praying, when to pray. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If he says something's wrong, you start praying. I'm going to read these. Okay. So we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to see what God does. We're going to watch. Listen, she just put that on about this baby. The baby is 2 weeks old and had a fever, I guess, from the beginning. It was what they did. 2 weeks old and you're carrying a fever? You know, the guy badly wounded on a motorcycle accident. We've seen God move. You know, you had a family member, if memory serves me correct. They called everybody in to come see him to say goodbye. He walked out of the hospital. That's the power of God. So never doubt what God can do. Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you that we can come before you, Lord. We can come boldly before your throne. Not arrogantly, Father, but boldly, knowing that as we bring these requests, Father, you already know, one, the things we need, but you know these desires to see people delivered, to see people healed, to see things changed. So, Father, we continue to stand and we continue to know that you're moving. And Father, I pray for Rosalie's family. Lord, this precious woman knows you. She knows she's coming home. Lord, be with her family as she transitions to make this change. Lord, I thank you that in these last few days, that if she is capable to tell, that you will make her capable, Lord, to tell them a story about how a man came from glory. Lord, I thank you that her going home will be a blessing. Father, that she will rejoice mightily in this. And her family will rejoice that they know where she went as well. And Father, I also pray for the Smith family. I ask, Lord, for peace in their lives. But Father, most of all, that your hand and your work would be seen throughout this entire thing, Father. I thank you, Lord, for those who have got to know her and to continue to minister to her family. And Father, I lift up Connie and Andy right now, Lord God. I speak life and health to their lungs, to their sinuses, Father. I command every virus in their body to die. Lord God, I thank you. You're healing their sinuses. You're clearing them up. Lord God, you're moving in their life. You're making passageways dry, airways easy to breathe, Father. I thank you that you're moving in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I thank you that Cameron has a new job, Lord, that you have been setting forth his steps as his grandma has continued to stand and pray for him. Lord, we pray that you guide this young man in his life. Lord, lead him. Father, show him that you will never leave him or forsake him. Father, we thank you that he will do well and he will find fulfillment in what he does that is called by you. And Lord, you see the blockage in Alan's heart right now. In Jesus' name, I command that thing to start breaking up, to filter out, Lord God, the way you created this. Lord, this blockage does not have to remain. Father, I thank you that you're healing him and you're moving in his life in Jesus' name. And Father, I bind this urinary infection, Lord God, in this woman. I thank you, Father, you're healing her. You're touching her, Lord God. You're removing the discomfort, the pain. Lord God, all signs of infection are be gone in Jesus' name. Healing and life to her body. And Father, I also lift up sis as she is transitioning as well, Lord God. You see what's happening in her life, Father, that she's about to say goodbye. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing life and peace back to this family. You're bringing them comfort during this awful time. I thank you, Father, that you're going to move in Christy's family in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the miracle that you have done, that you've touched Steve. You've kept him safe. And Lord, I thank you for a speedy recovery that's happening in him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to move on him. And Father, right now, we pray for our sister. Lord, I pray for peace. But Father, I speak life to her. And I command whatever showed up to go away. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. You're filling her with your peace and your love. Father, for strength and for courage, Lord, rise up in her even as she has asked you for help. Lord God, rise up in her as a mighty woman of war. Lord God, just because of history does not mean it needs to keep moving. I thank you, Father, for all that. I pray strength and life in this family in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in Israel. I thank you for what you're doing in this country, Lord God. That as we continue to trust you, Father, you show yourself mighty, you show yourself faithful. And Lord, I thank you that you're moving across this country as well against for the drug trade, for the human trafficking. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving mightily. And Lord God, I thank you that you're moving on the consciences of people across this country. And Lord, we put this election in your hands. Nothing's going to happen that you didn't know was already going to. So, Father, it is in your hands. We will vote as you have led us. Lord, I thank you that you're moving. Lord God, that no matter what outcome comes about, we will rejoice because you have a plan. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for all the things you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I got a question for you this morning. What is a wife? Well, today the term's getting so blurred, dudes are wives. It's a perversion. But that's what's going to happen. It will change, just as society has accepted the improper English. And they added the word ain't to the dictionary. That was much of my childhood, fourth, fifth, and even sixth grade. Ain't isn't a word, and it isn't in the dictionary. I can't tell you how many books I wrote with that sentence in it, but it is there now. The word irregardless is now in your dictionary. It's improper. The word wife is being perverted as well. It's going to be transitioned more and more because the world thinks they are doing the natural thing. The Antichrist is rising, and the Antichrist will go against anything that God. It means anti-anointing. The anointing is from our Father. But what is a wife? Proverbs. Okay, let me turn it back off. Is the little thing he pushed in all the way? Let's see, the technical difficulty. Transition from the sound system to my remote. All right, I bet she brought it up. Okay. Nope. I got, which one is it? Yeah, I got it back. All right. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So if we were to pervert this the way it is being perverted today, two gay guys get married, one of them identifies as being a wife. Do they find favor with God? No. Because it's a perversion. And they've been deceived. But for us, he who finds a wife. Now, here's the thing with this word. The word wife, isha, it means woman, and here's the real kicker, folks. Woman, female. In the event there was any question about it. Wife, spouse. It also means old woman. And if you ever wondered, ladies, where you got being called hens, it also means a hen. Don't ask me. That's the definition of the word. Yeah. But, so it does mean indeed a female. And so it's kind of a generic term as far as a wife. Well, what is a wife? Well, a wife, da 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 da. No, 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 no. Let's go to the word of God, not what society, not what religion has taught us what a wife is. Thing. Here's the word some people have a problem with. He has found a good thing. How many of you women? I am not a thing. I'm a person. Well, I understand why they translated it this way, but I could also see why you might be a little bit not fully accepting. But see, the thing is, the word is tov in the Hebrew, and it means good, but it also means harmony. He who finds a wife finds good harmony, and when you find good harmony, you find favor with God. God's favor is his blessing, his mercy, his grace. You will find that. The Living Bible translates the word thing as treasure. So when a man finds a wife, particularly a godly woman, he finds a treasure that brings him into harmony with God. And if you're of such a mind that says, well, what about me? The Bible says the two become one. You're automatically part. Because see, in the very beginning, we were given a command. Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, right? But we want harmony with our spouse. We want harmony and favor with God. And a wife helps bring that about. Some of you ladies missed a great opportunity for a hearty amen there. But so now, let's go back to where this all began. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. We have 18 in there, or is it flip-flopped? There we are. Thank you. That's okay. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Did you ever think God would say of creation something wasn't good? There wasn't a helper for Adam. The one he created in his image. He said, there's nobody here to as a helpmate. But he looked down and he said, it's not good. Genesis 2:20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Anybody ever bought a house? What was the thing your real estate agent said? We need to find comps, right? They got to find comps. They got to find a house similar to yours. Now, we ran into a problem with that years ago when we were trying to buy one of those octagon houses in Candlewood. There's only two of them in the county. And neither one of them had sold for a while, so there were no comps. There were no houses similar. There were houses abundant, but nothing like that one. And that's what he's trying to say. Comparable. There's no comps. Helper comparable is the Hebrew Ezer Kenegdo. It means helper. Ezer means helper in Hebrew, but not the same as English as we've translated it. Because what do you think of when you say a helper? I need a carpenter's helper. I need a mechanic helper. Right? You're looking for somebody who's not quite up to your level. That's what we pull up. Somebody who's not quite as good as me. They can learn, but they're still not quite there. Well, guess what? That's not what this word means at all. This word help in Hebrew means one who has power to help. Now, as I was thinking about this, I mean, people have given many examples on different things I've read. And one of the things the Lord just helped me with, because I think mechanics and cars. Let's say you're a semi. You're way over in the road, in the ditch. Do you think an S10 is going to pull you out? No, it's substandard. But do you think if you call Ronks with their great big semis, they have the capability, I'm guessing in 100,000 range, of pulling out and lifting? See, the semi that they bring to you looks similar, but it's not quite the same. As a matter of fact, to help, it fills in the places where the other one is weak. That semi's over in the road, off the road. He can't get out. But this semi has the capability and the power to lift. It can pull that other semi out because it is powerful. It has the power to really help. The word Ezer is used of God as well. 17 out of 20 times that this word is used to describe God when it's used in the Bible. Some of them would be in Exodus 18:4, Deuteronomy 33:7, and Psalm 33:20. The Lord our God is an ever-present help. He's an ever-present Ezer. He is more than capable. He is comparable as well. Now, the rest of that word, kenegdo, I'm going to read from the notes from here. The second part of the phrase is also important to note, kenegdo. This word is made up of two prepositions, ke, which suggests corresponding to or the adding of something that is essential. Why is it essential? We have a command from God. Now, in today's day and age, things have changed a little bit. We're not going to hit that today, but even Paul said, I wish you were all like me, able to stay unmarried. I don't know, maybe Paul was a real jerk. We can't blame the ladies on that. But we don't know that John the disciple got married either. Kind of hard to stay with somebody who's always being beaten up, boiled in oil, thrown on an island to die, survive that. Just a lot to do. Or the adding of something that is essential, and negdo, which suggests to stand in someone's presence. The two prepositions together express a relationship between two people facing each other, showing they are equals. See, part of the ceremony that I perform on weddings, I remind the groom, she was made from your side, not the bottom of your foot. She is not to be treated like a footstool, something precious, something that means the world to you. And I often remind people that just as, and you know, I think I've maybe either hinted, but I'll just flat out say it today. If you've ever paid attention to the descriptions of the Holy Spirit and the roles of the Holy Spirit has definite feminine qualities. And as such, we need the Holy Spirit. Ezer kenegdo in no way suggests subordination or inferiority, not in creation nor in function. Well, they're not as strong as us. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I know some women, they might be pretty doggone strong. I've met a few, they got flatter, straighter shoulders than I do. And I don't have big shoulders, period, but they've got those shoulders. I guess you'd say the shoulders of a linebacker, right? But the reality is, yes, women are made different. You absolutely are. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus for that. But your strength and your muscles are different as well. First off, all these things going on today that people think that, well, you know, I was a man, I think I'm going to be a woman, and I'm going to carry a baby. Want to bet? Anybody who's been a part of any biology course or the medical field will tell you one thing that changes on a woman during pregnancy. Her hips change to allow to carry that. Your muscles strengthen while you're carrying that. Even the military has finally realized, okay, women aren't exactly the same. So the Marine Corps has pull-ups. We had to do 20 pull-ups. Well, women had to hang on the bar for like 60 seconds. And I know, I could do that. Want to bet? Only a few guys could actually hold on to that bar for 60 seconds. Because our muscles are different. Women are different. They're not the same. Because their role is to fill in where we're missing. So many times, let me back up here, I missed something. So thus in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I will make him a helper fit. Ezer Kenego for him implies someone, a helper who is suitable for the task, not a maid or an assistant, but a companion that corresponds to Adam, which word literally means earth creature. It wasn't a proper noun yet. It was just what we turned into his name. It'd be kind of interesting to know what God actually called him. Being of the same nature as him and of the same capacity for relationship with God. As David Freeman puts it, when God creates Eve from Adam's rib, his intent is that she will be unlike the animals, a power or strength equal to him. So yeah, you may not have the actual physical strength, but there are things that women are stronger in than men. And vice versa. You can say, well, women can take on any man. There's a video running around of Marine Corps bugle stick training. Some of you may have seen it. And have a woman and they have a guy. And they both come out and they do it different now. They let you charge. We had to stand right in front of them. It's like, well, whoever gets the first hit in, that's the winner. But you need to understand that he went running. She cowered. And he cleaned her clock. And they pulled him off of her. Well, I can do anything a man can. No, you can't. But there's so many things women can do that I can't. My wife can do so many things. She can handle certain things. I'll tell them myself. When it comes to vomit, I don't do so well. If I smell it, I'm joining the club. So it's just one of those things. You ought to do that for your wife. I'd love to. She doesn't want to have to clean up mine. So she takes care of it, and I take care of taking the mice out of the traps and stuff like that that she doesn't want. See what I'm saying? We fill in each other's weaknesses. And that's what a wife is supposed to be doing. Not being his servant. I've never bought into that at any point. Somebody asked us Friday, do you do the cooking in the house? Because I was buying some knives. And I said, And over here on the other side of the store, Angela's like, yes, he does. She says, I'll fix some things, but he does a lot of cooking. I like to cook. God, that's a woman's job. Well, I can show you all the way back to the time of Jacob that men cooked. So no, it is not. You see, if one argues that a woman as a helper denotes man's elevated position in relationship to her, that same would be implied for God, which we know isn't true. God is our helper, our ever-present help. Why would we think God would, they would use the same word to describe a woman and God, but yet say the woman was inferior? Well, because Peter said the woman is the weaker sex. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. Physically, they are. We just talked about that. But again, your wife and ladies, your husband is supposed to help fill in the places you're missing. You aren't the complete package without him. Just like him is not complete package without you. Woman is not a duplicate, but a complement of the that completes human creation. You're not exactly like us. And as we've said, praise the Lord. But does that mean that you should be treated as lesser? We know that in this country, what year exactly did women get the right to vote? 1920. Let's see, we won our independence, what, 1783? If you had no rights, that was wrong. Well, you know, you can't own anything. That's wrong. That goes against the Bible. Because the woman in Proverbs 31 went out and bought a field. She bought it. Not her husband. She bought it. She dealt shrewdly with the people to buy it. So yes, ladies, you can be business people. Woman was given as a helper to the call or mission of man as well. Not saying that his call or his mission is the only one in life. Let me help you out here. You aren't supposed to have to give up what God has put in you just to help him. I want to be a hot rodder the rest of my life. Woman, you're going to help me hot rod. But God has opened the opportunities up for me to teach. Nope, you're not going to do that. You're going to stay right here and help me. I like hot rods as well as the next guy, but no. See, God gave man a call from the word go. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Ladies, he gave you the same dominion, which is authority. He gave you the exact same authority. Now, I can't say that there's any scripture that'll back what I'm about to say. But it's something I've observed. Women, when you pray for your children, for your spouse, God moves. Not saying that our prayers fall on deaf ears. I'm just saying there's something anointed about your prayers. So if your kid is being a bonehead and still rebellion, you pray for him. We'll join with you, but you pray. God will move. In my own rebellion, my mom would say, well, what do you need? I said, just pray. I've got to go. Holy Spirit's convicting me, so I need to go. So God gave man initial authority on this earth. Man flitted it away when he chose to take that which belonged to God. Fast forward a couple thousand years. John chapter 16, verse 7.